I started to say it's funny how God sometimes leads me down a path, and but it ain't always funny. But I was just thinking and praying and this week and all, and it just came to me that how we say God is faithful. And sometimes I think we say it because we don't have anything else to say. Don't have any other words. But when we say God is faithful, what do we mean? What do we mean? And just kind of hang with me. I'm going to take you through at least the thought process that the Lord carried me through this week. Are we really saying, is this a statement because he has been faithful to us? Or is it because he says he's faithful? Or do we truly believe he's faithful? Or do we just hope he's faithful? Do we mean that God will answer my prayers, requests, and maybe even sometimes my demands because I'm in that emotional place the way that I want him to? Or does it mean that we can trust him regardless of what's happening, regardless of what we're seeing, that he truly is faithful? I want us just to talk about God's faithfulness this morning just a little bit. Do we trust him in his faithfulness, or do we put our own qualifications on his faithfulness? So let's lay a little bit of a foundation this morning about what the scriptures say about his faithfulness. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says this, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Romans 3:3, what if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. And then the last one that I've got listed is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. There are many, many, many more scriptures about God's faithfulness. We can't question the fact that the Bible says he's faithful. He says he's faithful. But I feel like sometimes, at least this is kind of the process that I went through, is I look for his faithfulness to be more what I want as an outcome. And maybe even when I pray, and maybe even when I say God is faithful, I'm hoping that God's going to be faithful to do it the way Donnie wants it done. It don't always work out that way. Okay? And it's probably a good reason, okay? Because if my way actually were to be able to go to full fruition, it would probably show the inadequacies that are there. But God is faithful. His word says he's faithful. And if you look back over your life, I'm sure that you'll see times where that faithfulness has come through for you. Maybe not the way that you had hoped it would. But nevertheless, he was faithful. But I wonder sometimes if maybe the reason that we look at it, we just look at it differently sometimes. We view it from a different perspective than he does. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me see if I can help you with that. See, we sometimes equate faithfulness, whether or not someone or something is faithful, based on our terms. Again, what we're looking for, what we expect, what we think should happen. We didn't want Miss Jean to die. But she did. Does that make God unfaithful? Cindy and I and Bill and Lisa have good friends that are missionaries in Haiti. Went about the first time, about the same time that we did initially, with their son, who is about Brandon's age, right before Christmas, got killed in Haiti over what seemed to be a piece of trash. Now, his wife and kids, that wasn't their plan. And it surely wasn't the desires of his parents' heart either. But people die. And that still shouldn't affect our trust and waver in, it doesn't waver God's faithfulness. He is still faithful in the middle of all of those things. I mean, if you look at the Bible, there's only two guys that made it through without dying, the best we can tell. And everybody else died. So in our wishes of somebody not dying, the odds are they're going to, you know. And look at Lazarus. He died twice. But death is a real part of our life. But in that process of us going through it, and when we lose a loved one, when we lose somebody that's dear to us and close to us, it doesn't mean that God's unfaithful. And that's the reason I say sometimes our perspective of faithfulness and God's perspective of faithfulness is different. And we just need to be on the same page. We go through painful things. Sometimes we wonder why we go through them. We wonder why things didn't turn out differently. But lots of times it's because our thoughts are really from a selfish position. A fleshly man or a part of ourselves that hadn't completely died. See, if we look at scriptures, we see that in order for us to be followers of Jesus, we have to die to self. John 16:23 says, and Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And I don't just mean take a wooden cross and drag it around, okay? For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then Luke 14:27 also, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, means that our life basically has to cease, at least the way that we know it. When you think about what dying to self really means, it doesn't just mean dying to bad habits, things that you shouldn't do. Okay? It means dying to self. It really means dying to your own wishes and your own wants and your own feelings and your own thoughts. I don't mean this to be crude, but when you look at somebody who's died, they don't have those anymore, do they? They don't have feelings anymore. They don't have thoughts. They don't have opinions. So for us to be in that place that we die to self, it's not easy. It's not easy. But Jesus said that if you're going to be followers of me, you got to do that. How do we get there? See, if you die to self, you have died to your desires, your wants, your feelings, and your expectations. But I still believe that there's lots of times that we filter the faithfulness of God through those things. We got it up here that God is faithful. But sometimes the things in our heart that we have loved and we've trusted and we put things in, we want that faithfulness to work through our opinions and our thoughts and our and me, just plain old me. See, if our old man and its influences were completely dead, I think we would not have a problem with trust and realizing God's faithfulness. If our old man and the old man's influence was completely dead, we wouldn't have a problem with trust and faithfulness of God. Listen, I'm preaching to the choir this morning, all right? Because this is where I'm at. This is where God's taking me through some things, some thoughts, some processes. See, we know this now. We often quote that he'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, if I'm completely dead over here, you know, what kind of desires do I have? But let's look at the whole scripture. Psalms 24 is the first one that talks about this. Chapter 20, verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desires and fulfill all your plans. We love that, don't we? I mean, don't that sound good? Yes, sir. Man, that means whatever I desire, whatever I want, he's going to help me get. He's going to give to me. Remember, though, what Jeremiah says, okay? We talk about it quite often. I know the plans I have for you. So where's the disconnect? Well, Psalms 37:3, I think, points out the disconnect. Psalms 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. What land? I was just thinking about this. What land? I think it's the land that he gives you. I don't mean physical land. I believe it's the calling, the place that you live. That's live there because God has put you there, and do good in it. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Didn't stop there. Goes on to say, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, and your vindication like the noonday sun. We like that, don't we? Still didn't stop there. Goes on to say, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Again, it says, do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those whose hope is in the Lord will inherit the land. So when we're talking about receiving the desires of our heart, I don't know about you, but I see some qualifications here. Or maybe instructions. How about that? Okay. See, it's not the old man, the old feelings, the old desires, but it's the desires of the new heart, because God gives us a new heart. But we have to die to that old one to be able to operate in the new heart. So the desires that are put in you, if number one, you are dead to self, there ain't any desires left in that old man. Okay. Which he says, we got to die to self to be followers of him. And I think everybody here wants to be followers of him. But for some reason, that stinking old man just don't want to die. But if he dies, and how does that happen? Trusting in him, delighting in him, committing to him, and waiting for him. See, it's all about him. It's not about me taking a gun, shooting myself in the head, and say, oh, the old man's dead. Okay? Sometimes I think that might be easier because the old man keeps wanting to raise his head. But as we walk through life, God is helping us to get rid of that old man. And the way that is the most successful is us trusting him, us delighting in him, us committing to him, and yes, even waiting on him. So back to God's faithfulness. If our desires or our plans align with his, because that's really what he's trying to get, where he's trying to get us, okay? Jeremiah says, I know the plans I have for you. He's got a set of plans, if you will, for you and your life. The conflict is between his plans and your old man plans. And we have to lay that down. But if they align with his plans for you, it says he will give you the desires of your heart. You know why? You know what desires are in there? His desires are in there. His desires are in your heart. And that's what he wants to give you. And I love what it says in Psalms 37. Says, he will do this. When these things fall in line, he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. See, I think sometimes we want to grab, ooh, I like this little part of scripture. That's good. I'm going to put it in my pocket. I like this little part of scripture. I'm not so sure about that one. I'll leave that one. Okay? His plan is a good plan. And when we make him the delight, when we delight in Him. You know, and I think about that, and, you know, delight to me is a fun kind of great place, you know, and like, I know you've been at maybe meetings or maybe a worship time or whatever that you just really sense the Holy Spirit, and man, you just kind of, ooh, this is good, okay? You delight in Him. But then you walk out that door, and somebody cuts you off, or somebody says something, or somebody does something that just, all of a sudden it picks at that old man, and that old man begins to rise up. And then we're not really delighting in the Lord at that point. See, God knew there would be pain, and that we would go through difficulties here on earth. I mean, in Romans 12, He tells us, mourn with the mourn, those who mourn. If there wasn't somebody that was mourning, we wouldn't mourn with them, would we? So there's something that will happen in life that will cause mourning. But joy comes in the morning, right? The Beatitudes also says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I think it's Joyce Myers that said, oh, you ought to pray that you have to mourn so that you can be comforted, to experience that comfort. I don't know that I pray for that, okay? But I know that the Lord has comforted me in many, many situations. And I've seen Him comfort others. I guess it's because Miss Jean and the funeral is so fresh on my mind, but, you know, the doctors had said she was going to die over a year ago, and she didn't. She got to go to Micah's wedding. She got to go through Christmas and those kind of things. But I think as much as probably she wanted to see that, as I believe that it was a time that God used to prepare the family for what was coming. The comfort that was going to be needed to walk through those tough times. I mean, it even said that Jesus wept when Lazarus died. God is faithful. He's faithful. And that's just not a nice little cliche to throw out there. God is faithful. And thank goodness that we have experiences where He has shown us, that gives us, I kind of think of it's, remember how when the Israelites went around and something happened, they'd stop building an altar, you know, remember this thing. And they'd go along and something else would happen, they'd stop and build an altar and worship Him. Those testimonies, those things that have happened in our lives that we know nobody else but God could have done them. Those are our altars. Those are our things that remind us of how good He is, so that when that next thing comes along, we can go back and say, oh yeah, God helped me through that. He's going to walk me through this. Because He's faithful. And He loves us. And His plan for us is a good plan. I know, I'm just thinking that sometimes the pressures of a young man and woman after they get out of high school and try to say, what I'm going to do next, what am I going to do next, what's the next thing? You know, the world puts pressures on us that you got to do this, or you got to go this way, or you got to do that, you know. And I kind of think that the Lord just looks at that and shakes His head and says, listen, just hear me. I'll direct you. I'll put those desires in your heart, desires that will get you from where you are to where He wants you to be. He wants to give us the desires of our heart. He's asking us to trust Him. He's asking us to delight in Him, to commit our ways to Him. And if it means wait on Him, to wait on Him. But he wants to put those desires in your heart. So next time you speak out, God is faithful. What is it? I can't think of the word right now. Whenever they pass a law in Congress and they add amendments, they tag on all that kind of stuff. Don't put your amendment on the statement that he's faithful. He's faithful as a sovereign God. He's faithful because he knows what's best. And when we can trust in him, when we can lay our thoughts down and our feelings, listen, our emotions get in the middle of it and we can't sometimes make a right decision to go anywhere because we get so emotionally attached to things. But if you, I don't know if I can say if you have died to your flesh, because I think long as we're still kind of in this flesh, it's a battle. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. But if we can just realize that, God, that hurts, or, oh man, they aggravated the stew out of me, or, you know, and lay that down and say, okay, God, that's the way I feel, that's the way I want to respond, but how do you want to respond? How should I respond that would please you? Just because I'm upset, just because my feelings are hurt, just because somebody said something about me that I didn't like, don't let that be the thing that you respond out of. Respond out of his faithfulness, because he's faithful. He is faithful. And sometimes we can't see it till we get on the other side of it. But if you can hang on, I keep thinking of the lady that grabs the kind of the hem of Jesus' garment. Hey, if we can just hang on to that thing, and he'll get us through to the other side of it. I feel like the Lord wants us to do something this morning. I don't know if you've kind of ever been in that place that when you say God is faithful, that you're looking for him to respond a certain way and not opening it up for him to respond the way that he wants to respond. I think if we're probably honest with ourselves, we all have been there. Okay. But I really feel like that what I heard the Lord say to do is just, I just want us to come up and stand together this morning, because we're going to repent of that, and then we're going to ask him to take us through this new year as the new man or woman that he wants us to be. That the old man has to die. The old man's got to go. And so if y'all will join me up front for just a minute, I just want to pray this over you. Lord, first of all, we're thankful for this new year. And as we go into it, we repent for attaching our motives to your faithfulness. Help us to trust you and delight in you. Help us to be still and wait when we need to. Help us not to fret or have anger. And Lord, help us to continue to die to self, that old man will be down once and for all. Make us more like that new man that you've called us to be. We do trust you, and we do know that you are faithful. Lead us through this new year, Lord. Let our desires be your desires, and let our plans be your plan. Lord, help us to go expecting great new things, Lord, because that's what you said. But again, let them not be ours, but let them be yours. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.